We are honored today to have as one of our speakers, Akbar Muhammad, currently the international representative for the Nation of Islam. Akbar Muhammad has been a top aide to Minister Louis Farrakhan from 1965 to the present. Welcome.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. First of all, to His Excellency, the Ambassador, and to your staff and other officials, and to Gloria and Brother Gomez, I want to thank you very much for this honored invitation to be here with you. I know most of you have read or heard on the news about the health of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And before I close this short talk, I want to read a letter that he wrote to Commandante. There's something that Minister Farrakhan and Commandante have in common, and that's their longevity in talk. And so I'm trying to exercise discipline and make sure that that has not affected me. First, before we start, I'd like everyone under 21, not those who wish they were under 21, but those under 21, would you please stand? Would you please stand? Under 21, please stand. First, we welcome you and we thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to take a little page, and I'm going to do it briefly. I'm from New York, so I talk a little fast. We do everything fast in New York, okay? But those who remember their history, when Trotsky was having problems in Russia, before he went to Sweden and came to Mexico, he went to Turkey. And when he got to Turkey, he sent for a group of young American socialists. And when he got them there, he talked to them about the struggle in America and what the possibilities of America. But he talked about, and you can read about this if you like what I'm saying, in Trotsky's dissertation on black nationalism. And he talked to them about the Negroes, as we were called at that time. And he talked to them about natural allies. But he wanted to go after the young people. And he said this quote, he said, if they knew their history, they would join your struggle. And I'm saying this about the Cuban Five. We have a lot of struggle going on, but it's the young people. I'm older now. I've been a part of this for a long time. I started with the Fair Play Committee of Cuba in New York when I was in high school. When the Cuban Revolution took place, I was in high school, but I had a Cuban brother sitting next to me, Trujillo. I cannot forget his name. So he took me to my first meeting on Upper Broadway. Was anybody here in that group at that time? And we were behind Fidel 1,000% in this revolution in Cuba. Then I took him to the mosque with me to hear Malcolm. Now, being a white Cuban, he was a little shaky. I had to get him in, and he was wondering about all of this black stuff he was hearing, but I took him to the mosque. And so we had this kind of relationship, and if you can remember, when Mr. Esteban Lazo was in New York the other night, his focus, he said it's out of protocol, but was on the young people. We must make sure that we pass this message on to young people. Trotsky realized the importance of it. So there's examples. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Gloria talked about the New York Times. But there's what you call your natural allies. People who love Commandante. These are your natural allies. That 36 or 56,000 they spent in the New York Times, I would have put a full page ad for the Cuban Five and all of 267 black Indians and Hispanic newspapers in America. Because these, Gloria, I know I'm up here to talk, not to organize, but I must continue this. These are your natural allies. And then the other thing, I would take a page from SWAPO in the Palestinian struggle. They printed books for children, school age, what we used to call junior high or first year high school. One of them was called The Struggle for Namibia. Burnham in Guyana in South America did the same thing. He printed booklets for the children because if the revolution is to go on and the people are to understand and internalize the struggle, then you must work with the children. Otherwise, the world, the capitalist world, will capture them and they will have no heart, mind, and spirit for the struggle. So as Gloria was talking, I thought about the Cuban Five. No, they're not known in the media. The greater media has dismissed this and marginalized the struggle of these political prisoners who are in the jails of America. But how do you get it in the minds and the hearts of the people? How do you get the press to talk about it? In Cuba, Brother Gomez, I said to you, the struggle in America is on different levels. And if you don't have the ability to operate on those different levels, you never reach the people. I hope that you are recording this, because the agents in here who are listening for the security apparatus of America, they're too dumb to remember what I said, and they'll plagiarize on what I'm saying, okay? So, but give them a recording so they can report it properly to their bosses, okay? Thank you. So let me finish this point, because Minister Farrakhan, his desire was to be here with you today, because our trips to Cuba has inspired him, because when we went to the School of the Social Workers, and this is an example for those of us in the streets and the struggles in America, where Commandante allowed people to be taken off the streets and brought into the School of Social Work and sent them back to the streets to help their people. Minister Farrakhan was inspired by this. So we have to now, there's a struggle in America. What can bring us together? And you know the internal dynamics and the contradictions, but these are five men. And if there's any Muslims in the audience, you should understand this clearly. Imagine how America now sends listeners into every one of your mosques. And you got the imams and the leaders scared to say things that are true and forceful, like the unorthodox way that they went and destroyed the country of Lebanon under the excuse that there were some political prisoners in Lebanon. Think about it now. So, but they send listeners into every mosque. Then they send people overseas to listen, because they're saying they're trying to protect America from these outside terrorists who would do damage in America. Now here were the Cuban Five. There was damage done to the Cuban people. Innocent people were dying. Cuba has the right to protect their national sovereignty in their country. So they did what America is doing, not only inside but all over the world as I stand here right now. They were trying to protect their country. And then the audacity of the American government to go and lock them up when they are pointing out the terrorists. Now, the people of America don't know this. They don't know it because this message has not been communicated to him. Leonard Wineglass, if you take what he said and you distill it in the simple manner, Gloria, saying understanding the struggle of the Cuban Five, innocent men locked up in American prisons. And all who have been in prison in this audience, you have to understand the jail system. I had the fortunate or the unfortunate incident recently to be in jail for 3 days, 3 and a half, Gomez, to be exact. I watched the correctional officers kick Hispanic inmates who didn't understand English. We were in a room holding 28 people, 72 of us were in there. We were fed like we were animals, 3 times a day, a sandwich and a little drink. And then the Hispanic brothers who couldn't understand English, when they said, get up off the floor, because there was nowhere to sleep, you have a public toilet where you have to go to the bathroom in front of everybody. And they would walk in and kick each one of them to wake them up. And this is the top of the iceberg, but what happens in solitary confinement? And what is the most painful thing? When men are innocent and they want to break you in prison, and your cause is right. I learned this from the American Indians. These are not soldiers. These are warriors. Soldiers get paid. Warriors do it for a sense of commitment. There wasn't the Cuban government did not say, Rene, Antonio, you know, here's extra money. I want you to go because we're going to pay you big money. But it was a sense of commitment for their homeland. This story, Gloria, has to be told. And it has to be told to this group of under 21. When we have these meetings, we're passing the baton. As we get older, we need young people who understand what this struggle is all about. Our three trips to Cuba have made a profound impact on my life as a Muslim. It didn't start when Fidel came to New York and left downtown and went to Harlem and met with Malcolm. I was a young Muslim then. And here was Fidel standing up against America. There's a cartoon. I'm almost finished. There's a cartoon of Fidel sitting in a chair, Comandante. And there's Saddam Hussein struggling against America. And he said, amateur, because he had 47 years of experience struggling against America. And he has survived. So what we have to do, this is a struggle for information. This is the information age. So the thing first is you have to start with your natural allies. We got black political prisoners in jail, brothers who were in the Panther parties in their struggle. We got American Indians, Leonard Pantel, Pantel in jail, who have struggled against a wicked and an unjust system. We have to find out how do you unite these forces and paint the picture to our young people. How do we get into the high school with the story of the Cuban Five? How do we buy time on television on Sunday morning as the preachers do and tell the story of the Cuban Five or show a video? This way you get it into the American system, and the main media press has no alternative but to react. How do we get on the radio shows, as Conrad Alakan has done in major cities across America recently, talking to our community about the plight of the Cuban Five? It has to be that kind of campaign. Don't become battle weary, okay? But you have to go on, but you got to have the ability to pass the baton to the younger people. Now, I want to close. I know you've been reading a lot about the minister, but some of our brothers are here with the final call. He has a letter, an open letter, about his health concerns. The best examination that he received in his life took place a few months ago when we were in Cuba. He went there to find out how Cuba has served the people, not only of Cuba, but of the world. When I was on the round table on Cuban TV, my statement was about Che Guevara. Che came into the revolution and took off the white jacket and picked up the gun. The new revolution, they have put the white jacket back on, and Cuba has been exporting doctors to the entire world, where the Western world uses the medical profession to make people wealthy and rich at the expense of the suffering masses of people. Cuba now can export doctors. And Brother Esteban was beautiful the other night as he did his litany, and Fidel was there. We didn't go into Angola to get the diamonds and the gold and the oil. We went for a struggle. And those who were fine getting diamonds and gold and oil, they had to pay a price. But we went for a struggle. We were committed to a struggle. And I thought that that was beautiful. So I would like to close with this short letter from Minister Farrakhan to Comandante, because the meeting that took place in Cuba over a week ago, the non-aligned movement, was a great movement. And I want to say one last thing, Gloria and Brother Gomez, who've been working hard on this. Every international conference, there should be a table for the Cuban Five. We know when we have a conference in Africa and there's a conference in America, all of the black conferences, the professional conferences, there should be a table for the Cuban Five. There should be the literature, a booklet, understanding the struggle of the Cuban Five. But at this conference, the Non-Aligned Movement Conference, that's an outgrowth of the Bandung Conference in Indonesia in 1955, By 1961, when Tito and others got together to form the non-aligned movement, this meeting in Cuba was like the crescendo, 118 nations represented. Fidel showing that though I'm ailing and I'm sick, the revolution goes on. We didn't cancel a meeting. And all 50 heads of states that were strong enough to be there were present in Cuba. And Cuba became the center of the world, though you didn't read it in America. And though CNN sent two plane loads down there, look how little they put on. CNN International played more, but it shows you the inordinate control of the press of what you see, what you hear, and even what you think. I'm almost finished. So I'm going to close with this. And Brother Farrakhan sends you the greetings. He's looking much better. He's not on his deathbed. I talked to him about an hour yesterday, and he asked me to give you his love and greetings, and if he was in much better health, he would be here. Dear Comandante Fidel Castro, congratulations on hosting in Cuba the heads of states and foreign ministers of many developing nations of the world and receiving over 50 heads of states and government. This is a great and deserving honor to you and the Cuban people. And thank you for allowing The Final Call, the official newspaper of the Nation of Islam, to observe and record some of this historic conference. I am deeply humbled by the honor of your invitation to me to observe such a historic conference, and I am deeply sorry that my health condition did not allow me to attend. The Final Call's newspaper is representing the black, brown, and Native Americans and poor Americans who are indeed a developing nation within the nation of the United States. There is no better place on earth for such a meeting to take place than in Cuba, a nation that has survived embargoes, sanctions, blockades, and many evil attempts by the American intelligence service to destabilize the government of Cuba and terrorize the Cuban people. There's no better place on earth for such a historic meeting to take place than in Cuba, hosted by a leader who has weathered the storm of over 600 assassination attempts perpetrated by the most technologically prepared wicked scientists of death. To all who say that we believe in Allah, God, I would ask the question, who has preserved and protected the life of Comandante Fidel Castro in 47 years of his service to the Cuban people and the international community? I believe that the same God of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Jesus and Muhammad, is Comandante Fidel Castro's preserver and protector. What was Allah God's purpose in preserving the life of Comandante Fidel Castro? His life is a lesson to be studied for all who desire to serve the humble masses of humanity that yearn to breathe free. This precious island of Cuba is an inspiration to all leaders and nations who want to move forward in serving the masses of people in spite of tremendous opposition. May Allah God bless all of the leaders to go forth from this great conference inspired to serve the needs of their people, never bowing to opposition, that will encourage outside forces to take control of the riches of their nation that rightly belong to the people. May you leave this conference knowing that in serving the interests and the rights and the needs of the masses of people, that history will indeed record you not only as great leaders, but you will be recorded as true servants of the one God. May Allah God increase the leaders with knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and power to resist the urge to live for selfish material gains at the expense of building a great nation that should be in the service of the people. Best wishes to Comandante Fidel. Long life for him. Long life for the idea that undergirds the Cuban Revolution. And may this idea evolve into the kingdom of Allah on earth, where all citizens of the earth, no matter their race, creed, color, ethnic origin, can live in peace, harmony, freedom, justice, and equality. I remain your brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, servant of the lost found people of the Western Hemisphere. Thank you, Brother Condales. I appreciate it very much. Assalamu alaikum.